I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Mark Zucree. We'll take calls with Mark next hour as we talk about all things television. Mark, Space Command. I remember you just talking about that years ago on the program. Tell us about the evolution of this incredible idea.
Well, you know, it was interesting, George, because a few years ago, all the science fiction TV shows and movies I was seeing were very dark in terms of saying basically that the future is going to be bleak, there's nothing we can do about it, you were just kind of screwed. And I remember the original Star Trek and Star Trek The Next Generation, too, but I grew up with the original Star Trek that inspired people, that said we can create a future if we reach across with compassion, if we come from the heart, if we have courage and honor and loyalty, that we can create a future worth living in. And I was very determined to make a show that would be that kind of show, like Star Trek had inspired me when I was a kid. And I didn't want it to just be developed as a pilot that no one would ever see or cut off its script. And so, you know, because a number of my friends run network shows, and they said, let's take this in and let's, you know, we can get a pilot deal. And I thought, no. I wanted to reach out to my fans and see if I could finance the pilot and perhaps more episodes myself. Well, to date, between crowdfunding and selling investment shares on Space Command, my fans have given me over $2.5 million.
Wow.
And what that's allowed me to do is open my own studio. We're working with people all around the world, and we've recorded 7 hours of Space Command so far. We started shooting the next hour. We're going to shoot 6 more hours beyond that for the first season. You can watch a lot of these episodes on my YouTube channel, Mr. Sci-Fi. We're talking to Amazon now, and we've been talking to Netflix and a number of other buyers. But my main priority now is the relationship between myself and my fans, and because of the fact that I came from, you know, major TV shows and worked for all the major studios and networks, you know, I was able to reach out to my friends who are actors, and already in Space Command, we've got, as you mentioned, Bill Mumy, Doug Jones, who stars in Star Trek Discovery and The Shape of Water, Nichelle Nichols, who I met when I was 10 and Star Trek was on the air, Christina Moses, who stars in A Million Little Things, Armin Shimerman from Deep Space Nine, Mira Furlan, who starred in Lost and Babylon 5. We just lost her, sadly, to West Nile virus.
Wow.
She was amazing. Robert Picardo's in Space Command. Neil deGrasse Tyson is now in Space Command. Phenomenal. And so now we're building upon that to do a slate of 6 series and called the Showrunners Network. And I'm teaming with a lot of my very famous actor friends and also my friends who've created the top TV shows of the last 20 years. And so, but I have a full studio up and running with equipment, and we're building an alien spaceship. We're almost done with that. We're building 2 8-foot-tall creatures. I own 14 spacesuits. You know, it just keeps going, and it's a dream come true. I couldn't be happier.
Has computer animation helped a lot too?
Yes, it does, but it has its own challenges. And so, for instance, in the first 2 hours of Space Command, the 2-hour pilot, we have 1,800 visual effects shots, which is insane. It's like Star Wars doesn't have that many. For the next 2-hour episode that we're in post-production on now, that will have a lot more of what are called practical effects. That's why we're building the alien spaceship. That's why we're building the 2-foot, you know, the 2 8-foot-tall creatures, so that we aren't as reliant on visual effects. So what you try to do is find the balance, but mainly you have to tell a human story with characters that people care about. And, you know, the effects are wonderful, and they have to be good, of course, but and the production design has to be good. But at heart, it's about people you care about, and that's always what's going to make something last and affect people and move people and entertain them.
And I got to tell you, Mark, I've met a lot of people in Hollywood since I've been out here. You're one of the nicest guys I've ever met. You deserve this. You really do.
Thank you. Well, it's the love of a good woman. Elaine and I are writing and directing and producing together, and we just celebrated our 44th anniversary.
No way.
So, yeah, yeah.
You're only 32 years old.
Yes, that's a paradox, isn't it? And but the funny thing is, she met me when I was in college, and so I God knows what I'd be like if not for Elaine.
Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. She's the best part of every day, and I couldn't be more lucky.
Tell us about the evolution of the Mr. Sci-Fi channel on YouTube.
Yeah, well, that was really interesting, George. You know, it's I was having lunch a couple of years ago with my friend Glenn Mazzara, who was the showrunner on Walking Dead, and we were just talking science fiction like you and I are talking now. And he said, well, you know so much about science fiction, you should have your own YouTube channel. So I thought, well, that's an interesting idea. So I went on YouTube and found out how one does that. And I just started, you know, talking about science fiction and sharing what I was working on, like Space Command, or I'd talk about, you know, Twilight Zone and stories that Ray Bradbury had told me or that I'd heard from Rod Serling's, you know, from my research. And so and I really didn't do much to promote it, but now I've got millions of hits. I'm closing in on 100,000 subscribers, and it's absolutely free content. I mean, I talk about, you know, any aspect of science fiction that I want to talk about, and then also I put my Space Command episodes up there and all sorts of stuff. So it's just a cornucopia. It's really, really fun. I have a great time doing it.
We're going to take calls next hour with Mark about The Twilight Zone and other TV shows, so get ready to jump on board. Your latest work is called Greenlighting Yourself. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, yes, and you know, I think, you know, George, for many years I've run this round table of writers and directors and actors and producers, and during the pandemic we've been on Zoom, but it's thousands of members, and it was just something I created and run for free. There are no dues. It's basically just to give people a supportive place in Hollywood, even if they're not in Hollywood, the town. You know, it's just to basically create a showbiz industry that has humanity at its core and kindness. And so many people get so defeated by the arrogance of Hollywood, or they can't get an agent, or they can't get a manager, or they can't get anyone to read their script. And what I've been applying the last few years in building my own studio and creating Space Command and all of these things I've been doing, I thought, nobody teaches that. There's no book you can get on how you can basically greenlight yourself. That now, thanks to the internet and thanks to computers and thanks to the fact that we all have video cameras, high-quality video cameras in our pocket, you know, the barriers, it's no longer up to the studios or the networks or the major publishing houses what gets out to the world. You can reach millions of people if you just have something that people will find interesting. And so I wanted to share step by step what I had done, and also a number of my friends. Fortunately, J.J. Abrams and Neil Gaiman and Guillermo del Toro and, you know, Ray Bradbury, of course, they all have told me stories that were about how they built their careers and how they recovered from failure and how they, you know, were supported and mentored by others. And fortunately, and my friend Ron Moore, who runs For All Mankind, the TV show on Apple now, they were all kind enough when I reached out and said, well, you know, you told me this great story about your career privately, but can I share it with my readers? And they all said yes. And it was just great. And so this is sort of like everything I've learned over 40 years of my career. I've been a professional writer since I was 19, and I just, it's, you know, it's not a mystery, but the problem is that so many people are told, well, you've got to have a great script, or you need an agent in order to make it, and none of that is true. You just need to say, what do I want to share with the world? What comes from my heart? And you know, it's a conversation between you and the world, as you know, because people can certainly understand I mean, the reason you're successful, George, is because you're authentic, and people can listen to the show, and they know what you're passionate about, and they know who you are. And what people have to understand, you don't have to hide who you are to succeed as an artist. You have to be authentic and honest and straightforward, and people will get that. And if you come from passion and enthusiasm and honesty and genuine quality, people will respond.
Ray Bradbury passed away 9 years ago at the age of 91. Tell us a little bit about him. He was one of a kind.
He was phenomenal. I longed for him to be my friend and mentor for many, many years, decades, and I'd given up on that. And then one day he came across something I'd created, and he loved it, and he called me, and he said, "You must come to the house." And I came, and we just hit it off. And so then for over 10 years, once a month, I would go to his house, and we'd just sit and talk about career and life and art, and he'd invite me to these plays. He was putting on plays of his work at that point, and I always, of course, brought a book for him to sign, one of his books, and he was so wonderful. And the interesting thing is that I'd heard that he and Rod Serling had had a falling out, and that was why he only wrote one episode of Twilight Zone. He was originally going to be one of the major writers on the show, and neither he nor Rod would talk about it publicly. And in fact, when I tried to interview him for the Twilight Zone Companion, he declined. And finally, when we became very close friends, I said, "Well, okay, Ray, tell me what happened between you and Rod." And he told me. And so I have a video on Mr. Sci-Fi where I say, "Okay, I'm going to tell you what the story that Ray told me." And it's an amazing story. It takes 30 minutes for me to tell it. And it's on my Mr. Sci-Fi channel. But he basically talked about how basically, neither one of them was at fault. It was just kind of like where they came to a parting of the ways. But Twilight Zone would not have been what it was without Ray Bradbury, because his three proteges, Richard Matheson, Charles Beaumont, and George Clayton Johnson, formed the core of the writing team on Twilight Zone, and that was thanks to Ray.
And they were unable, Rod and Ray, to get together, huh, at the end?
They just had a falling out. It was, I go into it in detail, but it was mainly just that it was just kind of cross purposes. You know, Rod was incredibly busy, and so certain things he'd said to Ray kind of fell through the cracks. It was like falling out that anyone can have. They were both wonderful people, and I'm very, very glad that I got to get to know Ray so well, and he trusted me with that story. And my God, there were so many pieces of advice he gave me that were invaluable. And they're in the Greenlighting Yourself book. I talk about that at length in the book.
Good for you. And people can get this book now? Is it out?
It's not out yet. I've sent the manuscript to my publisher, Silman James. It'll be out, in a few months. And so if people just kind of, go on to Amazon or whatever, and, they'll be able to find it ultimately. I think they'll really benefit from it.
What's your favorite Twilight Zone episode?
Well, my favorite is Walking Distance, because that's about a man who goes back into the past of his childhood to try to reclaim that childhood. And it was Rod Serling's personal favorite, because during the war, he was a paratrooper, and even when the war was winding down, his father died very suddenly of a heart attack at age 52, and he wanted to go home to the funeral. He was overseas, and the Army wouldn't let him go, the Army Air Corps, and so he never got to say goodbye to his dad. And so that episode really is about him going back home and finally being able to say goodbye to his father. And it was very personal for Rod, just an amazing piece of writing. I mean, there's so many great Twilight Zone episodes. I mean, you can't really go wrong if you say the one with Burgess Meredith where he's the last man on Earth, or Howling Man, or,
To Serve Man.
Any of them, Stop at Willoughby. It's just a
I loved them all.
Riches.
To Serve Man, that was a classic, too.
That's a great episode, absolutely. And that was written by one of my teachers, Damon Knight, wrote the short story that episode was based on. And he was my teacher when I was 19 years old. He bought my first short story. So.
And they all had that ending, that really special ending, didn't they?
Yes. Yes. And Rod would say that if he knew the ending, he knew he was okay. But he said he had so many ideas where he could get the beginning and the middle and could not come up with the ending. And those never, of course, got on the air. But if he had the ending, he knew where he was going. And he could write incredibly fast. When he did The Hitchhiker, the episode with Inger Stevens, which is an adaptation of a radio play.
Going My Way.
Yeah. He wrote that episode in 8 hours.
That wow.
Episode.
So that's amazing.
Incredibly fast.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.